From Jakarta, here is Voice of Indonesia with Indonesia Today. News, information, and entertainment from Indonesia, only on Indonesia Today.
Listener, here's Voice of Indonesia with the news. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto affirmed the importance of food sovereignty as a fundamental prerequisite for national independence and resilience. He conveyed this message during the opening of the plenary cabinet session at the presidential palace in Jakarta on August the 6th. The president expressed his strong belief that domestic food production is the cornerstone of Indonesia's future.
Sejak lama saya berkeyakinan bahwa apapun terjadi,
I have long believed that whatever happens, our nation will remain secure if we control our food supply. If we can safeguard our food resources, we can ensure that we can feed our people.
The president also explained that history has shown no nation can be truly independent without the ability to produce its own food. He stated that dependence on food imports would only open the door to external intervention. Indonesian government continues to promote household consumption, investment, and exports to sustain national economic growth amid intense global competition. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto stated it following the plenary cabinet meeting on August 6, 2025 in Jakarta.
Pemerintah perlu mendorong.
The government needs to boost household consumption and purchasing power to maintain growth. Some of the key programs currently being promoted include efforts to encourage investment and export through special zones.
The minister expressed hope that the scheme would support the construction sector, particularly the micro, small and medium enterprises or MSME contractors. He also stated that the government has launched a housing-focused People's Business Credit Program as part of efforts to stimulate the construction sector. He added that the government is preparing special programs ahead of the Christmas and New Year holiday season and is pushing labor-intensive sector to accelerate production through the end of the year. He emphasized that all non-budgetary programs must continue to be promoted by ministries and agencies, as investment remains the key driver of economic growth. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. And it was his Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World. Listener, you are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia with more information coming from Indonesia and is still available on vionews.id, the application RRI Digital, and also the channel at Inet. I'm Steve, still on the mic, and buckle up for more from Indonesia is still coming. So stay tuned on RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World.
Now it's gone.
Indonesia.
In recent years, Bali has faced its share of challenges. Overcrowded beaches, cultural sites in disrepair, and a growing litter problem have left many concerned about the island's future. And it's clear that something needs to change. However, from adversity comes an opportunity for renewal. Bali has embarked on a journey towards sustainable tourism by introducing regulations. Then why does Bali need tourist levy? The answer is simple. To preserve Bali's natural beauty, cultural heritage, and enhance the visitor experience. Tourist levy regulations help protect and restore Bali's cultural treasures. They ensure all human beings respect, maintain, and appreciate sacred sites. Now, Bali is working towards cleaner, more pristine environments. As you explore Bali, remember to do it with respect for the local culture and environment. By contributing to the tourist levy, you're actively participating in sustainable tourism. Your support helps preserve Bali's natural beauty and cultural heritage for generations to come. Leave beautiful footprints, and the memories will last a lifetime. In conclusion, the Bali Tourist Levy is not just a fee, but an investment in Bali's continued allure. Your contribution shapes a brighter future for this island paradise, ensuring it remains a haven for all who visit. Together, we can protect its natural beauty, cultural heritage, and ensure a harmonious coexistence. This regulation will be implemented in 2024. Let's cherish Bali together and leave a legacy of responsible travel.
Jadi apa lagi? Jadi apa lagi? Apa lagi? Apa lagi? Jadi apa lagi?
Pertama kali kita bertemu, adakah kamu aku yang selalu di sampingmu? Dia datang dan kau pun meragu. Pikir ulang kali kepadaku, kau segalanya di benakku, tapi hanya dirinya di matamu. Jadi kau tunggu apa lagi? Masih kau harap dia kembali? Dunia pun tahu bahwa hanya aku.
Come on, break it down, baby.
Dia tak mampu buatku bahagia, sebagaimana aku selalu buatku tertawa. Setiap ku buktikan cintaku, setiap itu juga kau datang padanya. Kau segalanya di benakku, tapi hanya dirinya di matamu. Jadi kau tunggu apa lagi? Masih kau harap dia kembali? Dunia pun tahu bahwa hanya aku. Jadi kau tunggu apa lagi? Masih kau harap dia kembali? Ku sabar menunggu karena hati masih ragu. Looking for a lover, girl, you know I'm into you and looking for another. But the guy isn't there standing as a cover, and the love you're gonna feel coming from the other. But together, you will not believe I'm forever. Never hit the ground, we'll recover. All the way, I know you will discover.
It's a song by Glenn Samuel featuring Eka Gustiwana with Jadi Apalagi. It's about somebody who took his time to propose to the ones they love, and guess what? They took it too long and somebody else proposed to that girl, which is kind of sad, isn't it? So in that term, that it means that we need to act quickly, not only in terms of finding love, but also in terms in protecting this planet, not from extraterrestrial threats, but instead from our own planet itself. I mean the humans are creating a lot of pollution, and it's kind of bad. So that nations in the world are gathering in Geneva since Tuesday until August 14th, 2025, aka for 10 days, they are joining the final negotiation to arrange an international treaty or agreement to end the global plastic pollution crisis. As quoted from rri.co.id, the executive director of United Nations Environment Program, Inger Andersen, he says that we really need to get a solution from this problem, because everybody want to have the solution. And it is predicted that Around 19 to 23 million tons of plastic waste are coming to the waters every year, and the number is rising by 50% in 2040 if there isn't any intervention. And the global plastic production currently is predicted or forecasted to be surpassing 400 million tons per year, and can, well, I'm not saying triple or double, but it can increase by 70% by 2040. So around 100 nations led by Panama is supporting the limitation of production and management of toxic chemical substance in the treaty, and this will include the plastic. However, several countries such as Saudi Arabia and the United States are taking different paths. For example, Saudi Arabia rejecting the limitation to the production, and according to them, it appears that plastic is not a problem should they be managed properly. Meanwhile, the United States rejected the global regulation for the production, and they want to focus more on the management of the waste itself. So how do you think about this case, listener, about the waste production? Should it be, should the plastic be limited, or should we focus more on the waste management? You can tell us. If you are opening the RRD Digital mobile app, you can just write it down below the video or audio player, and you can also send WhatsApp to us to our number +62 821 2381 2130. Once again, +62 821 2381 2130. Listening to Tarot by Fist, and in a moment you'll be listening to the VOI talk about the Sekolah Rakyat itself. That will be led by my colleague Ray, so make sure to stay tuned on RRU Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Saya ku tanggung dengan Indonesia.
Hello, viewer listener. Welcome to the special interview of VOI Talk on Voice of Indonesia. And right now, as we all know, the Sekolah Rakyat in Indonesia is currently started. And many kids started to go to school. And of course, it is a new chapter for Indonesia. And so, voice listener, the education is a window to conquer poverty. Indonesian government launched Sekolah Rakyat program that aimed at children from poor families with the main goal of breaking the chain of poverty and opening up to a brighter future for the common people. So, to know more, we have a special interview about Sekolah Rakyat, and let's have a conversation with the President Communication Office, Ibu Adita Irawati. How are you, Bu?
Great. Great. Thank you, Ray. How are you?
I'm fine, too.
Okay,
Bu Irawati. Without any further ado, I would like to ask you, what is the difference of curriculum between ordinary school and Sekolah Rakyat? Because from what I know, Sekolah Rakyat is actually quite different from regular schools.
Okay, if we talk about the academic curriculums, it's basically there is no difference of academic curriculum between the Sekolah Rakyat and ordinary schools. Yeah, why? Because both of them are referring to the curriculum that's already implemented by the Ministry of Primary and Secondary Education, or Kemendiknas. Yeah. So we're talking about the academic curriculum, but the difference is on, however, the community schools or Sekolah Rakyat also teach character building. Something that we are not going to find, yeah, in ordinary schools as a part of academic curriculum. What is the character buildings? It's including the patriotisms and national defense, leaderships, and so on and so on. And also, each of individuals in the Sekolah Rakyat will be explored their potentials from the early, very beginning. This is something that already going to find in sekolah ordinary schools. Yeah, this is why Sekolah Rakyat are boarding schools, allowing students to learn positive character development. Yeah, including what I already mentioned: leadership, solidarity, mutual respect, and so on. So there is no difference basically if you're talking about the academic curriculum, but still. Sekolah Rakyat, because it's focusing on the family from the very extreme poverty, so we have additional materials for the students.
Okay, so from what I know, Sekolah Rakyat will be focuses more on the psychological aspects of the students to make them focus and improve themselves in the future. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. Like already, we know that Solar Rakyat is focusing on the family from the very extreme poverty, and usually this kind of family has no priority on education because they have to think about what to eat in every day, in daily basis, how to survive. So education is no longer being their priority. That's why Sekolah Rakyat is giving them the access to quality of education, and including, like we already mentioned before, the development of the characters. Yeah, that's why supposed to be in a boarding school. 24/7, they are in the same place and under supervision and control from the teachers and also all the teams in Sekolah Rakyat.
Okay, so what kind of lessons that will be implemented in regular school from Sekolah Rakyat? Maybe is it going to be spread out?
Okay, if you talk about Sekolah Rakyat, now is in a very early stage of Sekolah Rakyat programs, yeah, because it's just released probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, right? Basically, the features of Sekolah Rakyat are essentially based on some of the best boarding schools that have been operated in Indonesia, particularly in terms of care and supervision. The Ministry of Social Affairs, as a leading sector, is already doing some benchmark to at least 3 or 4 boarding schools, like Madrasah Al-Hidayah in Kota Batu in Malang, East Java, and also some of the schools belong to the foundations. Some of foundations. That's one of the best boarding schools in Indonesia. So it's this is being their benchmark. But if you talk about the Sekolah Rakyat itself, it is still in a early stage. So we are now focusing on how to develop Sekolah Rakyat. Yeah, and also we are not going to forget the evaluations in periodical basis. After that, then we are going to evaluations, yeah, whether it's going to be implemented in a sekolah or ordinary school, then it's referred to the evaluations results. So now we are focusing more to how to develop sekolah program. While it's going to be implemented or not in sekolah other sekolah, then it's depend on the results of the evaluations.
Okay, so how does the government assure this program will be sustainable for the future? Okay, Bu Adip, Ibu Irawati, sorry, I would like to repeat the question. How does the government will assure that this program will be sustainable?
Okay. Sekolah Rakyat program. Hello.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes, yes. We can hear.
Because I think we have connection issues here.
Okay. We're here.
Okay. So Sekolah Rakyat program. Okay.
Yes.
Hello.
Yeah, yeah. We can hear you. We can hear you.
Okay. Okay. Sekolah Rakyat program has officially been included in the National Development Planning Agency's or BAPENAS plan. Okay. This Sekolah Rakyat also has been one of the national strategic project or program strategis nasional to be included in 2026 government work plan. Okay. This program is basically also part of BAPENAS priorities from 2025 until 2029, or we can call it National Medium Term Development Plan, RPGMN, if in Indonesia. Yeah. Well, on May 27, BAPENAS already have a special meeting with Ministry of Social Affairs as leading sector on how the Sekolah Rakyat will implement it in the long run. So we are confident that it's going to be sustainable because it's already included in the national planning and it's led by the BAPENAS. So we are confident it's going to be sustainable.
Okay. So speaking of the teachers, that are going to teach in the Sekolah Rakyat, since it is going to be a different type of teaching, just like as you mentioned before, that it is going to focus on changing the mindset of the children. How does the government choose the teachers to teach in Sekolah Rakyat? Is there any special specification or qualification?
Teachers in the Sekolah Rakyat are selected from regional civil servants, or we call it ASN, ya, Aparatur Sipil Negara, and from the long-term contract workers, or P3K. Ya.
Yeah.
So there is two type of civil servants, it is ASN and also P3K. They are selected by two ministries, the Ministry of Social Affairs and Ministry of Primary and Secondary Education, because the requirements and also the qualifications from the academic aspect is referred to the Ministry of Primary and Secondary Education. While for the care supervision from character building and everything is coming from the Ministry of Social Affairs. So those ministers is in collaborations with the Ministry of Administrative and Bureaucratic Reform, or Kementerian Pan RB, ya, because this is the leading sector who manage all the civil servants. So those three ministers is collaborating to selected and also put the requirements and categories for the teachers.
Okay, for the final question, I would like to ask you, what is the biggest impact of Sekolah Rakyat to the education sector, especially in Indonesia?
Okay, we already talking about the goals of Sekolah Rakyat program, right? Basically, Sekolah Rakyat program is aimed to break the cycle of poverty in Indonesia, especially for the extreme poverty. Yeah. Currently, there are more than 3 million extremely poor people in Indonesia who generally doesn't have any access to good education, yeah, due to economic constraint. Education is not their priorities because they have to be survive, yeah, to be survive in daily basis. With Sekolah Rakyat, all Indonesians, including the poor, have the same opportunity to receive the quality of education, okay, because it's provided by the government, right? In this way, educations become more evenly distributed, okay, giving poor people the same opportunity with others, people from the higher economic level, to improve their economy and poverty. And also, we expect that poverty is no longer inherited. Right. So from the educational aspect, it's going to be evenly distributed. Everybody have access to education, especially the good quality of education. That's why we expect that in education sector in Indonesia is going to be improved as well, because everybody have the same access.
Okay. Thank you so much, Bu Adita Irawati, for your time and your answers to, for us who are wanting to know more about Sekolah Rakyat. And so for a listener, that concludes today's special interview from VOI Talk, when the concept of the people's school was adapted from the history of colonial education, which aimed to provide access to education from disadvantaged groups in society. Hopefully, the program will be successful and get national acknowledgement to build a better future for Indonesia. Thank you so much for listener for accompanying me in this special interview in VOI Talk, and I'll see you in another episode. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
So, why did you go? 'Cause I thought we were doing alright. For you to know, I gave my all, but now you're gone without a word. You told me that you'd walk away. Was it something that I've said? Or was it something that I didn't say? I'll try my best to let you go somehow. Never thought that we can talk it all away. Oh, would you think we're better off this way? So, why did you go? 'Cause I thought we were doing alright. For you to know, I gave my love, but now you're gone without a word. Fall apart, wondering what made you cry, and it's keeping me up late at night. All the time we spent, you know I won't forget.
First glance, his face looks like the face of an adult human, with his eyes reflecting a blank, meaningless look. His body is covered in black clothes and a piece of ulos, a typical woven cloth of the Batak tribe, is slung over his shoulders. Meanwhile, on his head, he has a sortali, a kind of head covering. When the sound of music from the gondang, a traditional single-headed drum, starts to play, suddenly his sculpted body begins to move to the rhythm of the music. He is Sigaligali, a unique wooden doll from Tomok village on Samosir Island in the middle of Lake Toba in North Sumatra. Sigaligali statue was not just born just like that. There is a long history that follows it, as told by local guide Anderson Sigiro. Sigaligali is actually the story of a king's son. 600 years ago, there was a king in the Batak region or Samosir Island whose name was Raja Rahat. Raja Rahat has a son, the only son. His name is Simangale, a pious and obedient child who has the skill of Manortor or Batak dancing. However, when he was growing up, he was ordered by Raja Rahat or his father to go to war with the aim of expanding Raja Rahat's territory or kingdom area. However, in this war, Simangale died or was killed in the battle, and his body wasn't found. Hearing this news, Raja Rahat felt sad. Yes, he regretted to lose his only son who should have given him the next generation. For the Batak people, having a son is important to continue the next generation of the family or clan line. Finding out that his only son is dead, Raja Rahat fell ill and almost lost his memory, because he kept thinking about his only son who was gone. Various ways were done to cure the king, including summoning powerful shamans in the Batak region. However, none of the shamans were able to treat Raja Rahat's illness. However, one day, one of the residents had a dream. He dreamed that if the king wants to be healed, try to make a statue that looks like Raja Rahat's son. They tried to make a statue, and after the statue was finished, the statue was presented before the king. Raja Rahat saw the statue, and he summoned a powerful shaman who was able to heal or summon the spirit of Simangale. The shaman then did a ritual. The shaman summoned the spirit. The spirit was attached to the body of the statue that had been provided. The statue was ordered to dance and move. At the beginning, si Gale-Gale could move or dance mystically, or at the behest of a shaman. But now, si Gale-Gale is moved with the help of a puppeteer. Si Gale-Gale comes from the word gale, which in Toba Batak language means graceful. In order to stand upright, si Gale-Gale is placed on a rectangular wooden pad. This wooden pad functions to connect the woven ropes, which can make the wooden doll move as if it were dancing. A puppeteer will control the ropes so that si Gale-Gale can move smoothly. Like the nervous system and the body joints in humans, these ropes connect si Gale-Gale's body parts, starting from the head, neck, arms, and palms. It turns out that we can still see the 90-year-old si Gale-Gale statue at the performance venue in Tobok. But because its condition is not good anymore, a duplicate is made. In fact, our oldest si Gale-Gale statue is over there. The original statue is broken, so we use a duplicate of that. But this is also old. This duplicate is over 30 years old. Of the three si Gale-Gale statues that we can see today at the si Gale-Gale performance venue in Tomok, all of them wear black clothes. Does this have any meaning? Well, actually it's like this. Because Batak people are like that, so when they die, they have to be wrapped in the black ulos traditional clothes like this. That's why Batak people used to wear clothes when they died. They wore a black suit. In memory of his son Simangale, when Raja Rahat was alive, he made a rule or decree in the kingdom that the statue had to be displayed or shown to the public, whether at cultural or traditional events accompanied by dancing or tortor. This can be seen today when we visit Tomok, Samosir Island. Visitors also join the Manortor. What are their impressions after seeing si Gale-Gale and dancing? In fact,
Our origins are from Samosir, the origins of our ancestors. So we come here from Nainggolan district because I am from the Nainggolan clan. We want to see this very sacred butter culture, which is very interesting. We want to see si gali-gali directly.
Nah, itu kita sangat-sangat.
Well, we are very, very impressed, and that is the Tortor Batak tradition. So we teach Manortor to children. There is an order in doing Manortor by holding ulos traditional cloths. We were sort for women and for men. The ulos for women and men are also different, both in good and bad times. I think Lake Toba, especially in Tomok, is the best place to do Manortor.
After I see and take part in the Tortor dance with Sigali-gali, I feel that Batak culture is really interesting for us. First, we watched it, then we will share it with our friends. This Batak culture is really interesting.
We are from the city of Subulu Salam in the district of Aceh province, and we come with families. We are here for holiday to see Sigali-gali, which is one of Batak cultures. Then I am actually here to let children know that Indonesia has many cultures. I see Sigali-gali and feel entertained. I want to come here again. We actually have a lot of hopes, ma'am, especially regarding Sigali-gali, because this must be preserved. This is one of the Batak cultures that we are still fighting to maintain from ancient times until now.
For joining us on Indonesia Today, only on VOI and RRINN.
Once upon a time, the angels took bath here. In the legend of Tutumenden, 9 angels descended from the heaven to a pond. They took a bath in a pond belonging to Mamanua, a young farmer. Mamanua fell in love. One of the angels, Lumaludu, became his wife. From the fated two worlds, a child was born. But one day, Mamanua make a mistake that forced Lumaludu to return to heaven. The angel said, should their child want to meet her, Mamanua must bring the child across the forest, river, and mountain, with the sun guiding their path. Lumaludung will be waiting at the end of the journey. Then Mamanua and his child took the journey until the small family was reunited in the castle of the angels. The legend of Tutumenden ended happily ever after. And that was the story of the most beautiful place that the angels picked, Likupang.
Yeah.
1 hour away from Manado, this coastal city left a strong impression on first-timers. The people are slow living here. Nobody is in a rush. Everybody follows their own beat. And of course, the majestic landscape. Find the warm and embracing sunrise at Larata Hill, where the light reveals the beauty of North Minahasa. Hidden behind the hills and lines of trees are the beautiful beaches of Likupang. The fresh air, the clear sky, the white sand, and the pristine water. No one can deny its temptation. Pulisan Beach is a must-see spot in Likupang. It welcomes both the calm with the trees and the adventurers with boats, taking them to some hidden gems around Pulisan. Then the darkening and yet golden sky is not the death of its beauty. The sunset in Likupang will show you its final glory once more before the night falls. That's the beauty of Likupang. Away from noises, anxiety, and deadlines. But believe me, it's always close to your heart. Come to Likupang. Come to your true home.